your artistic career, you use oil, acrylic, watercolor?
Everything.
Everything, as well as sculpting with bronze. You're a recognized Native American artist specializing in paintings throughout the United States and beyond. The Five Civilized Tribes Museum declared you a master artist in 1976. Mm-hmm. Let's bring you to what we all proudly look at, our state capitol dome. If Governor Frank Keating did any one major thing, it was certainly that, wasn't it? Because he headed up the campaign.
I mean, that had been going on for years, and he just decided to do it. Of course, I'll have to say this, as staunch Democrat as I am, he was the best governor I ever worked with. He was a visionary. You know, he let his mouth run off sometimes more than he should, but in spite of that, he was a great friend. Still is a great friend of mine. But I would tease him in front of groups, and he would pick it up later. I would say, I want to thank Governor Keating for building that $25 million pedestal for my sculpture.
That sculpture is known as the Guardian.
The Guardian, right.
Tell us how it came about.
In the original design of the state capitol, with the dome, there was intended to be a sculpture on top. In about 1914, with World War I coming about, the legislature did not appropriate the funds to complete building the capitol. It was designed, and it had basic structural pillars in place to build it, so we didn't have to go through that. A number of administrations and individuals had tried to do the funds to get it done, and a lot of people were against it. Governor Frank Keating decided we're going to have a capitol. He went out there and found the funds and resources. He had that ability. Then the next task was to find a sculpture that would go on top. First of all, we all submitted a portfolio of our work. There were six artists selected to come up with the final maquette, and I was one of those six. I got that notice one day before I left for Europe and Japan. I had 30 days to get it done. So I'm gone 2 weeks. I'm back. I've got 2 weeks to get this done, and I'm thinking, I'll never get it done. First of all, I didn't have that image in my mind yet. But while in Paris, I went to the Louvre, and when I was in Japan, I went to see some other works, and Rodin, of all people, some of his sculpture there. But I began to look at other sculptures and see what the monumental, long-lasting sculptures were like. And they were basically simple, not complicated, at least the better ones that were well-recognized, like the Thinker, kind of like that. So I had a sense of what it ought to look like. When I got back, I've got 2 weeks and thinking, oh, man. Then one day I was driving toward the Capitol, and this composition came in mind. It's nothing form. It's nothing there, just a composition. That's all I'm looking for. When it did, I reached over and grabbed an envelope that was close to me because I was driving. I got a pen. It took me less than 5 seconds to do the mark so I wouldn't forget it.
What were they, the marks?
It was just a design. It was a sketch.
Of a warrior. And you sketched it while you were driving in your car.
It took me about 5 seconds or less to do it. But all I needed was lines, so I wouldn't forget what was in my mind. That's all it was. Once I did that, I came home. I knew exactly what I wanted. But I had to have a model. You have the medical center right down the road, and you're thinking, well, you got to do something, make sure that the anatomy is right and height and perspective and all that. There was a young man who lived across the road from me. He was a high school athlete, Choctaw descent, kind of thin, muscular young man. So I used him as a model, took pictures, then came up with the clay model. Now, I did the model on my dinner table in my kitchen because I've always worked there. You can see right in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to build me a studio back here. Actually, I had a big studio in the back of my house there. Had a large one downtown so I could work on big stuff if I needed to there. Here, I don't have it. I'm just not getting to build my studio. So I built it on my dinner table, the Guardian. It was so interesting to work with. And I talk about this particularly any group want to learn about it. I'm highly trained as an artist. I know the principles of art, and I've used every medium possible. I have not had one day of training in sculpting. You know what that means? It means I have no limits. If I can think it, I can do it. Because if I need help with some composition or strength in certain points, there are engineers who can do that. There are other people with different skills can help me to maneuver and do what I need to do. I just need to think it up and to do it, see? Mm-hmm. That's what I do. I have no limits. I was working on that. When I started, I have no tools. I don't even know what a tool looks like. basically, I've done some other stuff, but just very few. I went and bought some tools and wasn't sure exactly what to do with them. My favorite tool, though, from the Guardian was a toothpick. If I thought about it, when I was at a restaurant, I'd pick up a couple extra just to keep in my pocket just to make sure I had it when I was ready. Like the eyes. You're talking about the maquette being, well, that's the actual size of it right there.
So the model you're working on is about 2 feet tall.
Yeah, something like a little less than that, but about 21 inch, I think. This part I've just kind of figured out by myself. I needed to have an armature. Armature is that metal that goes inside and you build around it. An armature is like a stick figure. It's just a little rod. In this case, it's just a quarter inch rod. And then move it around and move arms and stuff. Well, I didn't know how to do it. I'm not a welder. So I went to see this guy. He's about 90 years old. He's stronger than I am, I guarantee you. He still works, farm and so forth, has a little welding shop. He's been there before I was born. He and his dad had a shop there, and so he knew my dad. They were in military, not the same place at the same time. So I went to see Dempsey. I said, "Dempse, I need an armature." He said, "What's that?" And I said, "Well," I told him, "well," and he said, "well, what do you want to do?" And I told him, I drew it out. So we went out to his little welding shop, and he started putting it together, and we'd move around with the metal. Got it like I wanted to. Then I bolted it down on a piece of wood and came home and just started putting the clay to it.
So that's the arms and all.
Right,
and that's
this is what I call the stick figure.
Right.
And then I start putting clay on it, around it. Then once the clay is done, then start working on detail. Getting to that part is easy. As we get the clay on, that's boring. After that, when you start working on the eyes and making sure it's the same distance between each other and nose, and can you imagine? I've got to have a toothpick to do the nostrils, or the eyes, or the mouth, or the hair, or the fingers. Then I needed the shield that's on it. I couldn't draw a circle in my life depending on it. So I got clay and I pressed it down real thin. I'm at home, right? I don't have no fancy tools. So I go look in my cupboard. And I look through these different cans of food I have. I found one about this size. It's got a little lip on it, and I just pressed it down and cut it. So I got me a circle. I got two little markers inside, some designs. I need circles, so I got two smaller cans and just put the image in it. And all this will be converted to a mold. One of the interesting things is for the feathers, I need an armature for those little feathers. How am I going to do that? Oh, I use a paperclip. Pull that one side out like that. It's just like a little bitty old armature. So I start putting clay around it and poke it down his head in different places. That's basically how I created the Guardian. Once I decide what I want, I'm fast. Then when I took it for the final competition, they say you need to erase your name off of it, which I did. There were five others. So all the names were off, and it was selected by, I think, two different committees as the one they wanted. And, of course, I was pleased with it. I was concerned about whether or not I could even compete being a legislator and being head of appropriation. I did ask a question of the Ethics Commission if I could do that, and they wrote me back saying that since the project is privately funded, I could do that. Then I entered the competition and I won.
That had to make you feel good. It was a blind vote. They did not know who they were voting for.
Not many people had ever seen much of my sculpture, so you can imagine they didn't know what I did.
Had to be a major surprise then.
It was, and of course I was pleasantly surprised.
The Indian male is holding a lance planted into the ground. Is there a meaning to that?
There is. I did a different sculpture called Standing His Ground. It's an old Indian story of certain tribes, in this case the Comanches, where when faced with insurmountable odds, a warrior always had a strap. He tied himself to the ground with the enemy coming at him. Said, "This is as far as I go, no more. This is it." In their term, it's kind of like standing his ground. That's basically what it is, and the sculpture was that. I wanted to put that on the Capitol. I thought that would have been fantastic, but early on, someone said they thought it was too confrontational. So we don't want those kinds of things.
You mean standing his ground.
Yeah,
you could have put that up there, but you used the concept.
Well, they didn't know I did. See, so what I'm doing, the lance goes through a part of that leg, of the clothing, and it's stamped to the ground. It's still standing his ground. That concept is important to me about Oklahomans, that in spite of all of the tragedies that we have faced in Oklahoma, starting from the Dust Bowl days and the tornadoes that we have and all the stuff here, the Oklahomans have a way of just standing up and going again and facing the odds, whether it's wartime or whatever. that message was important to me. So unbeknownst to them, I did the same thing. That was important to me. People ask me, which direction is it standing? That's one of the other ones. The first two calls I got were from Native people. They said, Kelly, which way is it going to be facing? And I knew what they meant. It has to face east. In our ceremonies, the principal chief's arbor faces east. When you go to those old Indian churches that I grew up in, the minister always faces east. The buildings are built that way. And it's to the rising sun because you pray to the rising sun. I tell him I'm a politician, so I had to negotiate a position here. And it's turned this way, like looking at the traffic coming from the south. But the main reason for that is because I didn't want a bigger stiff. Didn't get a little motion. And that's how that motion came about.
His body faces the south. But
yeah, his feet are facing east. The top of his body is facing south.
And then the dress that he wore?
That was interesting because we have 39 fairly recognized tribes. We have more than that in terms of tribal people who live in Oklahoma. So the other thing the committee wanted, they wanted a generic Indian. I'm thinking, what the hell's a generic Indian? But I think their concept was right in the sense that they didn't want to offend anybody. So what I did was to choose a time and period when there were no particular tribes that were identified as such and thought about the tribal dress of your ancestors. Every civilization on this planet came through a tribal.
Yep. Mine were the Vikings.
Yeah. And even before the Vikings with all the regalia and clothing, there was something else. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was time before then. Mm-hmm. So I picked out a place and everybody wore leggings to protect themselves from damage. And moccasins, usually some simple form of moccasins. I don't know why they wore those breech cloths. So many different people through history wore breech cloths. The other one was they didn't start out with bows, they started out with lances. That's how the lance appeared. Then with his jewelry, it's the same thing I found when I was small. I would find them by the banks of the river, those beads. There's actually bones of fish. You get it, clean it off, and string them up. And the same thing, there were little shells everywhere, you know. Get those shells, clean them out, and that's what they did, and I made earrings with them. So it's really taken from a time and period before the evolution of tribes as we know it. Then there's a circle on it that I talked about that's on the shield. But there are four feathers hanging down. For some of the Indian people, I think most of the tribes, the number four is important to us, sacred. So when we prepare medicine and take medicine, we do it in fours. Everything we do is in fours. I won't go in detail, but when I cleanse an eagle feather, I do it four times. Sing the song, put it over smoke four times. So everything is done in fours. So that's what the feathers are down over there. It's pretty symbolic, but I try to keep it pretty simple, too.
So that became representative of all Native Americans.
Now let me tell you a final story on it. In the mid-70s, I was in Italy, and I saw the statue of David. As I was leaving, it said 14 and a half feet. At that time, I don't know how old I was, 30-ish, I saw this sign that said 14 and a half feet tall. And I decided right then and there, mid-70s, one day, I'm going to make one bigger than that. Now, in my mind, I thought to myself, I don't do this all the time, so I will never be as good as Michelangelo. I could live to be 30 more years and not be that good. But I'm going to make one bigger. Well, the original sculpture on the original capital design was 14 feet. Well, you know I'm not going to let that happen. So I decided, well, 17 and a half feet. And then I was working at the foundry, and Governor Keating came down, I was looking at it, and said, Kelly, how big is that one at the nation's capital? I said, about 19 and a half feet. He said, well, can we make this one bigger? And I told him, you betcha. So I just shot that thing up 22 feet. That's why it's 22 feet. But it's the right size.
Yep.
It's just the right size. Not too small and can't be much bigger.
You've looked up that through wind and storm and snow. Would you like to go up there and see how he's weathering?
Oh, I know how he's weathering. Because it's just a natural evolution. It can be as much as 75 to 100 years before they'll bring it down and clean it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it'll have to be down sometime.
So it has weathered some already?
It does. Any sculpture does.
Because it's been up since 2002.
Right.
And it started to weather some. You just know that in your mind.
Because I've seen some other work do that.
Which is bronze.
Yeah. Usually, you know, if it's ground level and stuff, you wash it off soap and water and polish, and it's like new. But you can't get up there and clean that.
Doesn't that give you a sense of pride? As it turns out, the dome, it seems like now, no matter where you are in Oklahoma City, you can see it.
It's a capital. It's a capital now.
Right.
And I had so many people say to me, like the idea that we thought we could do with that and da-da-da. But when your sculpture went up, we just changed our mind.
Yeah.
I think that made a lot of difference in a lot of people. But let me tell you what's interesting about the selection of the, quote, Indian warrior. There were suggestions for everything. You know, a sculpture of Christ, a teepee, all kinds of stuff. Part of the deal was we had Alan Hauser do that sculpture in front. It was about 14, 15 feet tall, of a Native woman. So we decided, well, we need to do a Native man. Part of the reason, as I recall, is because they were getting ready to do this big land run down at Bricktown. And Native people, as you probably know, don't take kindly to that. I mean, it's just part of our bad history, somebody celebrating. It's a matter of fact in history, and we understand that part. But the fact is, we don't have to like it. So that was one way of countering that. I guess most people thought it's kind of natural anyway to do that, so that's how that came about.
The mail came about.
Yeah.
There was a $50,000 stipend that went with this. And what did you do with that?
I chose not to take it.
Why?
Oh, there are some rondelles inside the Capitol. On the walls of the House and the Senate entries, they're about this big, four of them. I didn't charge them for that either. And as you travel across the state, you see these big blue signs, history marker ahead, with that buffalo and eagles. I did that too. I didn't charge them. When I'm in the legislature and I'm still head of the appropriation, it's a matter of image and perspective. I decided, I don't think I'll do that. I mean, I could use a 50 anytime, but I'm thinking I'll make money anyway, so I'm not going to do that. I just gave it to
you. You gave it to the state.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be a real sense of pride for you to look up at that.
Oh, it is, and more and more. At the time I did it, though, see, it wasn't that big a deal. It's just what I do. That's my work. Somebody going to say, draw a circle, okay? You got to pay me $10. Draw your circle, whatever. That's my living. And at the time that I did that, I was really pleased with having been selected. But I was so busy running the campaign, too. My deal was just to get it done and make it look good and do a good job of it. My family be proud and all that. Well, now, from being away from the Capitol, as I go by and look up, I say, man, I can't believe I did that.
Who did that anyway? Huh?
You know, who did that? And John helped me with that. I've got pictures of him on top, with that great big old head, you know, putting clay on and so forth. Yeah.
Wow.
So it means more to me today, in terms of pride for me, than it did at the time I did it.